Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is one of Lord Krishna's intimate cowherd, not exactly girlfriends, but assistants. The Manjaris, there's many Manjaris who assist the Sakis, who are Radharani's close friends and same age, and they're like her really close associates, and the Manjaris assist them. They're younger, the Manjaris are younger than the Sakis, so they're really like children, but they assist in the most intimate of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Even sometimes when the Sakis don't assist because they feel a little embarrassed and they would rather just leave Radha and Krishna to associate together without anyone else being there. But then still the Manjaris, they may continue to stay there and assist. So they're very special personalities. And Rupa Manjari is basically the leader of them. And Rupa Manjari, like so many of Lord Chaitanya's, of Lord Krishna's associates, Rupa Manjari is also present in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, but in a different form, of course, but assisting Lord Chaitanya in very, very close, intimate, and very, you could say, very personal ways. In Chaitanya Leela, Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami is Rati Manjari, or sometimes said to be Rasa Manjari. But Sanatan Goswami is another very prominent Manjari amongst the associates of Radha and Krishna. And then other associates of Lord Chaitanya, there are other Manjaris in Radha Krishna Leela. So the interesting thing is that of all the different associates of Lord Chaitanya, the ones who did the most significant service in terms of revealing the intricacies of Radha Krishna Leela, they were the six Goswamis, who are all Manjaris in Krishna Leela. Of course, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami, who were not Manjaris in Krishna Leela, they were very, very close associates of Lord Chaitanya, but in different moods. Really different moods from the six Goswamis, at least. They were just in very close ways assisting Lord Chaitanya as he was going through all his different ecstatic experiences, ecstatic manifestations. They would read to him different pastimes which would relate to whatever particular mood Lord Chaitanya happened to be in at the time. So they were assisting like that. But Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, the six Goswamis, they assisted Lord Chaitanya by in-depth presenting the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna and explaining them really in great depth. So In that sense, their contribution was perhaps higher, maybe, or at least very, very important in the sense of really revealing Radha and Krishna to us. Like Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, which is really all about how to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then Sanatana Goswami wrote Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is all about different stages in devotional service leading up to the topmost conjugal stages. So really important contributions the six Goswamis made in terms of very intimate descriptions and very complete descriptions of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And even Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami, they didn't really do like that. Their association with Lord Chaitanya was somewhat different. So now, on the request of Shanin Mataji, who I think is around, we hope because it was her request, we'll sing this song. It's a kind of different melody. So yeah, we'll give it a try. Although you may have noticed I'm sort of struggling to some degree with my voice. Anyway, we're putting it up here on the screen, hopefully, in a minute or two. It should be up there. In the meantime, I'll just look it up on my computer here. You know what computers are like. This computer stopped working yesterday. Completely. Stopped. Couldn't switch it on. Nothing. Nothing at all. Then this afternoon I thought, well, let's open it up, see what happens. And it just started. Completely crazy. Okay. We're getting there, are we? Okay, let's see now. Here's the words, and maybe just so we know what we're singing, maybe before we actually start, perhaps we can just run through the meaning. Okay. Just please continue to bear with me. All the words are there. Okay. Well, look, there you go. You can see the words there. Hopefully I'll find it somewhere.
Oh,
Okay, here we go. Here we just about go. Yes, right, okay, so Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Se Mora Sampada Se Mora Bhajana Pujana. The lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami are my treasure, my devotional service, and my object of worship. Sri Se Mora Pranadana, Se Mora Abharana, Se Mora Jivanera Jivana. They give my life meaning, and they are the life of my life. Se Vrata, Se Tapa, Se Mora Mantra Japa, Se Mora Dharma Karama. They are the perfection of rasa, and they are a perfection worthy of attainment. They are the very law of the Vedic scriptures for me. Oops, sorry, skipped a verse, didn't I? Se mora rasa nidhi, se mora vancha siddhi, se mora vedira dharama. Yes, excuse me. They are the perfection of rasa, rasa nidhi, and they are perfection worthy of attainment. Se mora vancha siddhi. It's like they are the perfection of my desires. Se mora vedira dharama. They are the very law of the Vedic scriptures for me. Se vrata se tapa. Se mora mantra japa. Se mora dharma karama. They are my vows. They are the meaning of all my fasts and penances. Se mora mantra japa, and my silent uttering of my mantras. They are the basis of my religion. Of my religion, actually. Se mora dharma. They are the basis of my religious activities. Then, anukula habe vidhi, se pade hoibe siddhi, nirakibo e dui nayane. By the purifying process of favorable devotional service, one will attain perfection. And with these two eyes, be able to see, meaning see Krishna and see Rupa Manjari too. Yeah. Se Rupa Madhuri Rasi, Prana Kuvalaya Shasi, Prapulita Habe Nishidine. His transcendental form, well, he says his, he's here referring, well, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, it's sort of, you know, interchangeable because they're the same person. So maybe it should really read her transcendental form is shining like moonlight in my heart, and my heart therefore shines and reciprocates. In other words, the ordinary moon lights up the night and its shine illuminates other objects. But the moon of the effulgence of the form of Sri Rupa Manjari shines into the heart and makes the heart also shine back to the spiritual sky. This moon shines not only in the nighttime, but day and night. Tua adarshana ahi garale jaralo dehi Chirodina tapita jivana. Your absence from my vision, Rupa Manjari, is like a dose of strong poison, and I will suffer till the end of my life. Haha, Rupa Korodoya. Oh, Rupa Manjari, be merciful to me. Deha Mora Pada Chaya, give me the shade of your lotus feet. Naratam Loilo Sharana. Well, which means Naratam takes shelter of you. Okay, so here we go. Anyone got cartels? I mean, I do have, but I am going to have to operate this because it's on a couple of pages. Is there any competent cartel player who can, you know, do the needful?
Okay.
Are you also competent?
I have to do
that. Oh, you got to also? Okay.
I could join the book.
Oh, well, what if you like? So yeah, like I mentioned at the beginning, the tune is a little different than just the general way of singing is somewhat different to what we may be more used to. What we do, we sing the whole verse and then you respond with the whole verse and then I'll repeat the last line of the verse again and you'll repeat it. Get me? Let's see how it goes. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Se Mora Sampada, Se Mora Bhajana Pujana. Hey.
Thank you. Oh, Yeah.
Prabhupada ki, Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki, Sri Rupa Manjari ki, Sri Rupa Goswami ki, Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. This very, very beautiful song, extremely beautiful song. One of the most beautiful songs in our songbook. So let us now continue discussing some pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We already went through the translation of the song, by the way. Those of you that might have come in a bit later. So I won't go through it again. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Two nights ago we were discussing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes up to the point that his father passed away, and then he went to Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya to do the last rites, and while there he met again Ishwarapuri, and he was initiated by Ishwarapuri, who instructed him, Harirnam, Harirnam, just always chant and chant and chant the holy names of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. He applied that wholeheartedly, and he transformed from, as we mentioned the other evening or other afternoon, from this rather mischievous young student of Sanskrit grammar, Sanskrit logic, all this sort of technical type of information he really focused on. And he was not manifesting himself at that stage either as the Supreme Lord or even as a devotee up to that point. But now, having been initiated by Ishwarapuri, he became what Srila Prabhupada calls a God-intoxicated person. He came back totally transformed. And he had, before his father passed away, just immediately before, or maybe a year or a couple of years or so before, he had started teaching grammar, Sanskrit, or teaching Sanskrit, including the grammar. And Sanskrit is a very technical language, and anyway, a very technical language. So he was teaching it. Then his father passed away, he went to Gaya, came back. Now he continued teaching, but his teaching methods changed completely. He was teaching everything, all grammar, vocabulary, and so on and so forth. He was teaching by using Krishna consciousness. In other words, mean, in many ways, actually, but just as a simple example, whenever he would have to give some example of how a particular grammatical rule is used, he would have to quote a sentence where, which includes that particular grammatical construction, that sentence would be fully Krishna conscious only. No of the sort of standard mundane examples. And he sort of strategized, you could say, the whole Sanskrit grammar. In Sanskrit, there are groups. Well, in Sanskrit, I actually forget how many, but there's something like 50 letters, unlike English with, what, 26, I think? Yeah. And Russia, I forget how many it has, but it has more. But Sanskrit has something plus or minus 50. I forget exactly. So, and those letters are grouped into different, well, into different groups. And in Sanskrit, there are what are called the rules of Sandhi. Sandhi means meeting. So the rules of Sandhi, what they mean is that particularly when one word meets the next word, the end of one word, like the last letter, or maybe the last two letters, meet the first letter or two of the next word, then in many cases there are transformations either of the letters, letter or letters at the end of the first word, and or the first letter, or even first two, but more often the first letter of the second word. So you get all these fluctuations, and they're called the rules of Sandhi, and there's lots of them. There's plenty of them. And if you're ever going to learn Sanskrit, you have to memorize the rules of Sandhi. Good exercise for the brain. Like a very practical example, a couple of examples. In our pranam prayers to Srila Prabhupada, the first pranam prayer, Nama Om. The Nama, am I right, is spelled N-A-M-A? N-A-M-A?
Yeah.
Or N-A-M-A-H with a dot under it? Is it?
Without the H, I think.
Okay, let's forget about that one. But here's a good one. At the beginning of every Srimad Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita class, we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that Namo is actually Namaha. Namaha. But when Aha, when aha meets ba, bh is a letter, ba, then the aha becomes o.
Oh.
And therefore we have om namo, not om namaha. Yeah. This is a typical rule of Sandhi. Yes. And it really is quite complex. Even sometimes when words as words decline, you know, in different usages, like of this, to that, from something, then, well, it gets quite complicated. Like Krishna. Actually, the nominative is Krishna, Krishna, but by Krishna. This was done by Krishna. Who knows what that is?
Krishna.
Krishnena. By Krishna. So the aha got dropped and became ana. Anyway, we don't want to bewilder anyone. Or I don't want to bewilder myself also. You know, I know a bit, but I don't know it well at all. But this gives you some idea. Or in Bengali you also have Krishna, of Krishna, Krishnera, or of anything, Jivera, of the Jiva, Swarupaya, Krishnera. The Swarup of the Jiva is to be the eternal servant of Krishna, Krishnera. This is all Sunday. So, Lord Chaitanya then, you've got all these groups, they're called sanghas, or he called them sanghas. For example, you've got nouns which begin with, like Krishna, they're called Krishna Sangha, masculine, and then you've got female nouns which end with the long A, that's called Radha Sangha. There's Vishnu Sangha. But now, the letters themselves in the alphabet are grouped, and each group has a name. And Lord Chaitanya renamed the groups in Krishna conscious ways. So that some, for example, some letters are called Vaishnavs. Other letters are called, well, the vowels are called Sarveshvaras. Sarva Ishvara. Sarva Ishvara. When A meets I, it becomes A. Sarveshvaras. There you go. Sarva Ishvara. Controllers of everything. So the vowels are called Sarveshvaras because they control so much of the grammar. But anyway, others, consonants, the certain consonants are called Vaishnavas. Other consonants are called, for example, another group is called Vishnu Janas. And a Vishnu Jana means a person of Vishnu is a Vaishnava also. But anyway, so the rule of Sandhi, when the last letter of the first word is a Vaishnava, and the first letter of the second next word is a Vishnu Jana, then how they change by Sunday, the rule is called Satsanga. So it's really, you know, it's, I wouldn't say cute, but it's just really amazing and wonderful. Yeah, when a Vaishnava and a Vishnu Jana meet, what you get is Satsanga. And in this way, to some degree, not that much of a degree, but to some degree, you know, it helps you if you're a devotee with the grammar. But believe me, it's still really complex. Wow. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was now teaching grammar using this method. And for example, that incident, you may know that incident where one student observing how his teacher, who was still called Nimai Pandit, he was only called Chaitanya when he took sannyas. His name became Krishna Chaitanya. It's his sannyas name. Up until then, he was known by, you know, he's known as Vishvamba sometimes, but more than anything he was known as Nimai Pandit. So, yes, that one student, seeing how Lord Chaitanya now, Nimai Pandit now, his teacher, was really just into Krishna conscious things in so many ways, in every way, just every way, and was regularly chanting Hare Krishna. The one student came and said to Lord Chaitanya, it was a strategic political move by the student in order to get better marks. He wanted to please Lord Chaitanya and make Lord Chaitanya more favorably disposed towards him. So the student came and said, you know, this Hare Krishna mantra is so nice, so wonderful. I think it is as good as an Ashwamedha Yajna, which is the biggest, most powerful, and most elaborate of all the Karmakandiya sacrifices, materialistic, fruitive, ritualistic ceremonies. So this student thought, wow, I've just offered such a wonderful glorification. My teacher, Nimai Pandit, he's going to pat me on the back and just, you know, he'll be very favorable to me and give me good marks. Unfortunately, due to his lacking real understanding, he didn't know this is serious namapara. And Lord Chaitanya, who's just completely, you could say, obsessed or just totally overwhelmed in Krishna consciousness, hearing this aparad, you know, he didn't just say, well, look, you know, thanks very much, but it's not really appropriate. He didn't just do like that. He became wildly angry. Wildly angry, and he picked up a stick and chased that boy shouting at him. And he was just going to smash him with the stick. So just see. So this is the transformed Lord Chaitanya. Transformed. So there he is now. He is teaching his students there. And one day, who should come to Navadweep but the most famous scholar of those days. His name was Keshav Kashmiri, and he was a scholar who would travel around, and there were many of them who would travel around as he did and visit different cities and places and challenge the local scholars to debates on different subjects, and whoever would win the debate would have to become the disciple, like the follower of whoever it was who won. And it was a big thing. It was a big thing. You know, in those days, 500 years ago, there was no television, and you couldn't watch Manchester United and company and all that, or the cricket, or, you know, all these things. Everything was extremely localized. Extremely. Everything, basically, was extremely localized. So, and this was, even though it was highly intellectual, but it was like a spectator sport, practically, for the people in those days. And there would be followers of the different scholars. And when the scholar came, they would be there and, you know, encouraging him. So anyway, this Keshav Kashmiri came. And what I want to say, first of all, what I want to do, first of all, is read. There is a blessing. Or it's a blessing. It's called a phala stuti. Phala means fruit. And stuti means a prayer or a verse or a prayer, really. A prayer which establishes what is the fruit or the result of hearing the subject matter, the relevant subject matter. So at the end of this narration in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the following phala stuti or blessing for all those who hear it nicely. That means you, we hope. And I'm telling you this before and not after, so you can gear yourselves up. So, this is what Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, says. Whoever faithfully and attentively hears this pastime of the Lord, defeating the Digvijayi Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri, will always be victorious. Wow. And whoever hears about his captivating pastimes as a scholar will immediately become his eternal servant. So if you're feeling that you're not quite ready to become the Lord's eternal servant, you'd rather stick around for a while longer and watch TV. Don't listen carefully, okay? Because you have been warned. If you listen nicely, you will walk out of here shortly when we finish a changed person. And you'll go home, and all the people there who are not here, they'll say, "What happened to you?" But it'll be too late. Irreversible. Okay, so once on a full moon night, well, let me just make a note before we go into the pastime. This pastime is illustrating, among other things, how foolish it is, how detrimental, how undesirable it is to become proud as a devotee. As a devotee. If you become proud as a devotee of how you're a devotee or certain skills you may have and certain achievements you may have achieved, then it's not good. It's bad. And you find in the Krishna book, in the chapters where the rasa dance is described, that's from approximately 30 or so to 36 or 31, it's around there, that part, it's six chapters in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what happens is Krishna leaves the gopis at one point, and just suddenly he's just not there. He just vanishes. And he goes off with Radharani. And the gopis become just devastated in separation and become desperate to find him again. So they're running around looking for Krishna. He's gone off with Radharani. And what happened was that as he went off with Radharani, they're walking some distance, and Radharani said that, "Could you pick me up and carry me?" And Krishna said, "Sure, put your arm around my neck and I'll pick you up. And I came. So she put her arm around his neck, and his neck was not there. And he was not there. Gone. And then the gopis came and found her. Then they all looked for Krishna. So it is described that Krishna disappeared from them, even from Radharani, because they became sort of, kind of, proud. Yeah, so he wanted to teach them that lesson, don't become proud. Because they were thinking, you know, we've got Krishna here, he's our Krishna. And like, we're controlling Krishna. So, ostensibly, to teach them that they shouldn't be proud, he disappeared. And then they had to really just intensely and very humbly desire to get his association again. And then he came out in front of them again. So, but it's not really, the point is not really that they became proud. Because they are, you know, after all, Srimati Radharani is Srimati Radharani. She doesn't become proud in that sense, like we become proud. We become proud. And we might think, and it would be very foolish to think that, yes, well, I become proud, he becomes proud, and she becomes proud. And Radharani becomes proud. And we all become proud. Ah, such is life. No. They don't become proud like us at all. Not at all. But to teach us, this pastime happened in that way. This is a very important point. And Prabhupada makes the comment that in the Krishna book, in the course of this recitation description, Krishna does not like his devotees to be proud of their service to him. He accepts everyone's service, but he does not like one devotee to proudly consider himself better than others. If sometimes there are such feelings, Krishna ends them by changing his attitude toward the devotee. Which is a nice way, a sort of cultured way of saying Krishna gives you some of the sauce. The rude awakening. Some of the hot chili sauce. Yeah, there you are thinking you're pretty cool. And suddenly smash. You know, like we just had the book distribution marathon. Tomorrow is the awards ceremony. So you may be going out, you may have been going out in the marathon and getting into it and getting into it, and then one day you do, I don't know, 500 books, shall we say. How does that sound?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. You do 500 books, and you think, wow, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm really, you know, pretty successful book distributor. And you get into that mood of pride. So Krishna, as Prabhupada says here, Krishna ends those feelings by changing his attitude toward the devotee. So a possible scenario could be, and it happens, I mean something like this definitely happens sometimes, that you go out the next day thinking, yeah, okay, another 500 books, here we come, maybe 600 today. And so you approach the first person, they scream at you. You approach the second person, they take a swing at you. And you approach the next person, they curse you, etc., etc. And then the fourth person was someone who took a book yesterday, and they come and give the book back and demand their money back. So now you're at minus one. So you see, Krishna is just clever. He's a creative thinker. And he can end, if he sees that a devotee has certain feelings, attitudes, ideas, which are just not suitable, then, by his mercy, he ends them by changing his attitude. By doing something, you know, there are different things he may do. It's not necessarily that he just will create a disaster for you, but somehow or other you'll get to learn the lesson, and that will end those feelings. So Keshav Kashmiri, he was this Digvijay scholar. Dig means directions. Vijay, that victorious in all directions. This is what they used to be called, Digvijay scholars. They would just travel around and just wipe out the opposition in arguments. So he was the biggest, and he came to Navadweep, where Lord Chaitanya was living. And the news spread that this Keshav Kashmiri, you know, he's come and he wants to debate with all the Navadweep scholars. So suddenly all the Navadweep scholars looked at their watches, looked at their calendars, and they all said, "Oh, forgot important engagement elsewhere, out of town. See you all later, much later," after he's gone. So they all just abandoned ship. And this Keshav Kashmiri, there was no one for him to debate with, except for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, at least in terms of the sort of hierarchy of scholars, he was really one of the juniors. You know, he was maybe 20 years old or something. You know, he was really young. He just began teaching. But still, you know, he was doing well. And he made a little name. But still, he was very much a junior. So everyone else had gone, and Keshav Kashmiri was asking, you know, where is there someone I can debate with? And Lord Chaitanya was the only one. So this man, you know, he's big, physically big man. And he's really big in the sense of being puffed up, you know, big false ego. And in a very haughty way, he came to Lord Chaitanya as the Lord was teaching his students. And he said, are you that Nimai Pandit? And Lord Chaitanya very humbly said, yes, how can I serve you? And this Keshav Kashmiri, in this arrogant way, he said, "Oh, I have heard that you are quite good at teaching beginners Sanskrit grammar." In other words, you know, you're no one. Beginners Sanskrit. And Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear sir, you are so much better than me. I am not fit to be the disciple of your disciple." And Keshav Kashmiri said, "Thank you." This is his mentality. And Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear sir, would you be so merciful as to just demonstrate your scholarship to us?" Sir Keshav Kashmiri, he was so happy. On the spot, he composed and recited 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganges, glorifying the Ganges and Mother Ganges. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he recited them just like the blowing of the wind. It means like a gale. Wow, it was powerful. And he finished and he asked Lord Chaitanya, so, what do you think of that? And Lord Chaitanya, he's now sort of getting into something. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, except for the mistakes, it was really nice. And Keshav Kashmiri said, what do you mean except for the mistakes? There were no mistakes. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, let me just give you an example. And from memory, having heard all those 100 verses only one time, he completely quoted one verse and pointed out a number of faults, including a couple of quite serious, like kind of stupid mistakes. As you may know, in that particular verse, Keshav Kashmiri referred to Lord Shiva as Bhavani Bhartu. Bhavani Bhartu. Yeah. Bhava is Lord Shiva. Bhavani is Durga, his wife. And Bhartu means husband. So in other words, Bhavani Bhartu means the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, which could mean she has two husbands. So it's really like, whoa, that's just such a silly mistake. People would laugh. And there were other mistakes in that verse. There was something like a dozen or so. And Keshav Kashmiri was astonished. How did you remember that? And, you know, how's it possible? And Lord Chaitanya said, well, you know, he actually said, you know, some people have certain abilities. I have the ability to remember things. And he said, you know, actually, if I just selected one verse, but every verse was like this. And Keshav Kashmiri now, he's like entering into a state of shock. Oh yeah. And everyone's looking at him like, oh. Yeah, you're not so clever, are you? But Keshav Kashmiri decided, okay, look, I got to save face here. Yeah, I got to show them. I got to reestablish myself. So I'm going to say something, you know, really brilliant. So he just rattled off something. But to his amazement and the great amusement of everyone else there, it came out like, sort of like mumbo jumbo. In English we say sometimes like double Dutch. In other words, Dutch, they call Dutch marbles. It's kind of strange, you know. Sounds like something is wrong with you. And he actually spoke sort of some rubbish. And he couldn't believe it. What happened? How did I say that? And everyone's looking at him like, you have lost it. Wholesale. And Lord Chaitanya's students started laughing. But Lord Chaitanya told them, stop, don't laugh. Don't laugh. He's a very senior, respectable person. So they didn't love. And then Keshav Kashmiri tried to say something more very brilliant and, save, last attempt to save the day. But it also came out as just rubbish talk. And he was finished. He was finished. And Lord Chaitanya's students laughed. And Lord Chaitanya did not stop them. And Keshav Kashmiri, he was just devastated from just being right on top of the world, the most senior, authoritative expert in the world, to actually like a blithering idiot. As Shakespeare says, like a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, but signifying nothing. Yeah. Or like, you haven't heard this, I don't know if you'll get this, it's slightly tricky. Charles Darwin was a fan of Charlie Chaplin. This is what they say. Charles Darwin. Yeah. And when Charlie Chaplin, one of his films was premiering, Darwin came to see it. And they met. And Charlie Chaplin said, the thing, and there are so many people there, and they're just applauding everyone. And Chaplin said, the reason I'm so popular is because everyone understands me. And the reason that you're so popular is because no one understands you. And Darwin said, yeah. Darwin said, what does it mean? And Charlie Chaplin said, nothing. That's by the way. So poor old Keshav Kashmiri, he was just in a state of utter despair, total despair. And he went back to where he was staying. And he's just, his mind is just seething and just, he's just, possessed by this whole situation. And he was a great worshipper of Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And he actually had a relationship with her. She would appear in front of him and speak to him. So she would speak to him, she would appear, he would see her, and she would help him directly. Very amazing type of situation. So that night he prayed to Mother Saraswati. What happened? You withdrew your mercy. You completely withdrew your mercy. And I ended up just like an uneducated, sort of like an oaf, really, completely embarrassed to the nth degree. Why? Why did you do that? You've always helped me. And she appeared to him. And she said, yes, you're right, I did. I withdrew my mercy completely. Because that person you were trying to debate with, and you were trying to make a fool of yourself and defeat and really minimize, he is my Lord. He's my Lord. And so you don't do that with my Lord. But you go and surrender to him. So the next day he did. And he became a great devotee. And actually, he joined the Nimbarka Sampradaya for some reason. He didn't actually become like a member of Lord Chaitanya's associates. For whatever reason, he became a member of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. But he became a very great devotee. Yes. So, as we read, whoever faithfully and attentively hears this pastime of the Lord, defeating the Digvijaya Pandit, will always be victorious. And whoever hears about his captivating pastimes as a scholar will immediately, that means now, become his eternal servant. So there you go. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Any comments or questions? We will continue tomorrow.
No, Maharaj?
Yes.
I heard one senior devotee say, talking about pride, and there was this question about how to get rid of pride. And he mentioned that if one is sincere, then Krishna will gladly smash our pride. But if we're like too proud and hard, then he'll give us like enough rope to hang ourselves with. Which is
well, that's true. That applies with any type of maya. You know, if we're just too attached to something material, the opposite sex, or music from the old days, and you know, etc., 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 and we just get into meditating on these things and dabbling, you know, get into it, then Krishna will try to correct us. Oh, sure. But if after trying to correct us, he sees that we are actually determined to remain into these things, he may keep trying, but at a certain point, he'll just say, okay, I've been trying unsuccessfully. I will now leave it up to Maya Devi. And he'll hand you over. Here, Maya Devi, take him, sort him out, and don't worry, Maya Devi will sort you out. I mean, at least you'll just go through a very difficult time, very difficult. Which may then prompt you to get serious again, or you may just drift off into material life. Ashrada Dana Purusha. Dhanas yasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmane. Those who are not faithful on this path of devotional service return to the ocean of birth and death again. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we will continue tomorrow. And what's the program's time? Is 4-ish.
Yeah, tomorrow is 3:30.
3:30. We'll do some more of this. Yeah? Plus the prize giving. Right, okay. So, please come tomorrow. And we'll talk about the Mahaprakash Leela. And some other pastimes where Lord Chaitanya is now manifesting himself. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare
Krishna.
Thank you.